and opening on Friday for two performances, Friday and Sunday, at Upper Coeur d'Alene is Puccini's opera Tosca, an amazing story, an amazing sequence of events that transpire in that opera. Jill Gardner as Tosca and Roger Honeywell as Cavaradossi. I guess, Jill, since the opera is named after you, we get to greet you first. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Vern. Great to be here.
And you've done the role before.
I have. Actually, I was figuring up in this run that with these two performances this weekend in Coeur d'Alene, I will sing this will be my 52nd and 53rd performances of the role.
So you've had plenty of time to think about who
Tosca
is.
Yeah, I love this little girl. Yeah. She's so wonderful.
She is. Well, we'll start dissecting her in a minute after we bring in her boyfriend.
Yes, boyfriend.
Yeah, Cavaradossi. Roger Honeywell. Good morning, Roger.
Hi, Vern. Pleasure to be here.
And you've been here before. You've done Puccini here.
I have, with Jill. With
That's
Jill.
Exactly right.
Oh, you did The Girl of the Golden West, too.
That's right.
Okay, well, then a return for both of you.
Yes.
Well, where I want to start, because I happen to also have had kind of a lifetime of being close to this story and thinking about it, and is that there's a conventional wisdom that some opera plots have some thin aspects to it and some unreal and unlikely aspects. And I personally feel that Tosca is Shakespearean almost in the inevitability of the way the story unfolds from the characters, from the people involved. Are you willing to agree to that overall premise, that the story makes a lot of sense given who the people are?
Oh, sure, yeah. I think that these characters are almost universal in their struggle. And in their love. I mean, it's one of the beautiful things about this piece is that you start the story in a landscape of a political turmoil, but in the center of it is this love for between these two people, and that's the point of departure, and then we see how it manifests itself by the end. I would certainly say it's Shakespearean in that sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so as you mentioned, it has the politics, it has the love, and from Tosca's point of view, and we'll get there even deeper a little later, it is the love aspect. And then I want to push one step farther. It's also the tenuousness of love, or it's the possibility of uncertainty in love, because isn't Tosca a little concerned about this relationship, the painting that's being done of somebody that doesn't look like her and things like that?
Yeah, well, I think that's one aspect of it that's introduced in the very beginning, because she is a celebrated singer in Rome at the time, and she happens to be in love with Mario Cavaradossi, who is a celebrated painter. Maybe he is not at the prestige that Tosca is, but which, I mean, I think that's up for grabs as well. It depends. It's not really necessarily denoted in the score. But for me, also, to go along with what Roger said, I tend to play this character as a real woman. In the history of the opera, she often has been a springboard for divas, you know, who sing this as a signature part to highlight themselves as a celebrated singer. Because I came to this role early in my career, I did not have huge, nor do I have now, huge fame and fortune as a celebrated opera diva within the opera world. And so I've really discovered her as a true character. And I think that what makes her really work within the opera, not only for me, Jill, but as I've studied the role, is that she has to be sung as a real woman. It's not just a vehicle for a titular diva. She's a real woman in love with this painter. And I, Jill, portray her very much as someone who, in this 24 hours, really almost less than 24 hours that this opera takes place, Tosca has found a true compatriot, a true lover, a true meeting of the minds, and We find ourselves within this horrible political environment within Rome at the time, where the Pope, there is no sitting Pope, and so this is what gives Scarpia the chief of police his political power. And this particular day, I go to the church to see him because I want to meet him that night and within my own world to tell him that I'm in love with you. I want to be with you. And if we're going to have any hope for this relationship because of his revolutionary stance within the time period at that time or in that moment, we have to get out of town. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to give up my place to be with him,
mm-hmm.
Because he, you know, is a revolutionary in the real sense. You know, he is
fighting for the cause.
He is fighting mm-hmm. for the cause,
mm-hmm.
and so you know, I think it for me sometimes too. It I have loved Maria Callas and have read a lot about her and her life, not only as a singer, but particularly in her relationship with Aristotle Onassis, and you know. Maria Callas wanted that. By the time she met him, she wanted to return to her roots as a Greek woman and be his lover. She would have given up his career and, I think, had children with him if he would have allowed that, you know. But he
and yet he didn't.
And yet he didn't, right?
He had Scarpia qualities to some extent.
And you know, which where the worlds collide. But that's where I think, as a character and fashioning her as a character— even though she is a jealous and, you know, highly dramatic person, in that
but
sense.
But that jealousy is so human, right?
It's
that's
so
and that's
human.
So beautiful about it too. Is mm-hmm. she's it's
Thank
sort of
you.
it's not only that it's kind of tongue in cheek by the end. There's a wink and a nod by the end of it. And it makes it human. It's not just that diva jealousy or that rage that can come out. It's actually very sweet that the way you portray it. And it's totally natural and beautiful.
Yes, and, yeah. and he's a painter. I mean, I love what my first reaction to the work is not just, I look at it as it's really good work, you know, but I maybe somewhere in my mind I thought he was going to paint this picture with me in mind, and I think he did paint it with me in mind. It's just that in the inspiration of the moment, the Marchesa Lattavanti was there praying, and she's beautiful, and he used that as his inspiration. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love me any less, you know. It's just that's their artistic personalities and drives are
well. In fact, and that's the point of departure for the first aria that he sings, Recondita Armonia. It's these two beauties are intermingled. You can see the beauty of both.
Correct.
So it's I don't think there's an argument there, really.
That's right.
Apart from the fact that I painted her with blue eyes, and they should have been black, like yours.
That's right. Which we come to. But I think what makes us work, which particularly in working with Roger, it's always a distinct pleasure, is that we play that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just playing these stock characters. We play this real relationship that exists, which is the crux of this. It's the crux of the triangle.
Mm-hmm. And yet, isn't it true that it is that jealousy, no matter how subtle, that Scarpia is able to use to his advantage in order to kind of make the plot turn
and figures that out in that moment. You see, that's the other thing. I think that when you go to see it, you have to understand that all of this is happening moment to moment. You know, he goes into this situation after we've had our duet, and he's after Mario because of his political station, you know, and he figures it out in that moment how to get to me. That's how manipulative his character is, because I also think he wants me. And in the political, not only in that stand, politically in this environment, no matter where you portray this historically, Scarpia and I actually have more of a political connection than I have with Mario. Because we, in the time that this was written, we are royalists. Mm-hmm. We are there to serve the queen. And so I think that we also have not just a political relationship, but a social relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been around one another. We have seen one another. We have probably been within parties and social situations where we're there to serve the queen together. makes sense to me. But never have I gotten the sense yet that he's after me as a, what he would call a love interest.
Right, yeah.
Until this day. And all the dominoes fall, as they often do in life, to create these scenarios. And so here we find ourselves in this moment within this context.
And so then that leads to the obvious place we're going to go in a musical performance. By the way, I need to back up here. If you're just joining us, Jill Gardner in the role of Tosca, Roger Honeywell in the role of Cavaradossi, Friday night and Sunday afternoon at North Idaho College in Coeur d'Alene with Opera Coeur d'Alene. But anyway, back to the story. About within this very short period of time, things have turned really, really sour, and Tosca suddenly realizes just how desperately difficult this situation is with Cavaradossi.
Yes, by the time we get into Act Two.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, by the end of Act One, I've had this relation or this scene with Cavaradossi in which I'm the one that goes into the church to say, meet me at our little wonderful cabin, you know, in the woods where everybody has them here and in this part of the world. Because at that point, I'm wanting to say to him, look, we're going to have to get out of town. And in what's so wonderful to me, too, in the love duet that we do in Act One is that Mario says to me, Tosca, by the end of this little, you know, tete-a-tete that we have, I love you. And for me, I think that's the first time that he really says it in such a way that going there to the church that day to say we need to meet after my performance tonight and plan our getaway, I now know I'm correct in wanting to assume that, or to as a woman would do, we got to make or break this, you know, and we're going to meet. But Scarpia comes, and he, to his agenda, figures out that this man is someone that he can get through me.
Right, by the fact that I'm hiding a political prisoner. That's how this is how it's all been set up. There's a man named Angelotti, who's been in jail, has broken out of jail, and through circumstances is going to make his way out of Rome, and I'm helping him do that. And Scarpia figures this out, and then uses Tosca to break me. And in the second act, where this aria that Jill's going to sing comes from, Cavaradossi is being tortured. And she can hear the screams of pain and agony coming from the other room. And he uses it, Scarpia uses this, as a way of breaking Jill and finding out where this political prisoner is being held, which is, in fact, at my house.
So that's probably a pretty good opportunity to have you go to the next room and break into song, I think,
Do it, Jill.
With aria Vici d'Arte, which freely translated, I lived for art, I lived for love, and all these things, you know, a realization that we all have when our simple, pure, and lovely motives are getting used in a very bad way. So let's go to our let's go to the studio here and hear the aria Vici d'Arte. Celeste is at the piano. Celeste Johnson, and this is the soprano Jill Gardner singing Vici d'Arte from Puccini's Tosca.
Thank you.
our studio, the soprano Jill Gardner in the role of Tosca, Celeste Johnson playing the piano, the rehearsal pianist for this sequence of rehearsals going on of Opera Coeur d'Alene and their production of Tosca, which is Friday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at North Idaho College's Schuller Auditorium. And so, wow, thank you. And clearly you're inside it. You understand it because it had that deeper sense of...
Well, you have to remember that Tosca, I mean, again, in discovering her for myself, you know, she's very much a part of me, Jill. We always don't get to play characters who are that close to our skin. And when we do, it becomes really a special sort of portrayal. And she, to me, is a woman in love, but she's a woman of faith. And she believes, she has a personal relationship with God as a Catholic. You know, that she was, her musical abilities have been fostered through the church, and because she was found so young, and that's where she lived. That's how she developed her talent. And in the story, the idea is that the Pope blesses her and says to her, Tosca, you need to go out into the world and give this gift of music to other people. And so I think that she has found her way to this station in life because of this, not only her musical ability, but because it was fostered within the church. And so she's done so many things and achieved so much in her life because of this relationship with God. And so in this moment, which is just horrifying, to the idea that she's going to have to, you know, give herself to this man in order to save her lover, she just can't believe that God has brought her to this point. And I think it's a reasonable, it's an aria of question. There's nothing about this that is decided, is a statement. She really is, in her heart of hearts, asking, you know, as we often do, you know, why do bad things happen to good people, God? You know, and I think that's what this moment is. Now, it totally gives in her primal sense, which is also in her heart. That's why she eventually goes on and sees that her way out of this is that I'm going to kill this man.
Sure.
You know.
But then amidst all this, she's inherently a very trusting person.
Absolutely. She's a good girl.
Yeah. And so then that leads her to the later solution that she thinks that is going to work out when by agreeing to this, by agreeing to what Scarpia wants, he's going to free Cavaradossi.
That's right. Well, once she realizes that there's this deal to be done, mm-hmm. right? The art of the deal. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a deal right here in Scarpia's quarters. She, by agreeing to this, and Spoletta comes in, and the whole simulated suicide is offered by Scarpia to... If mm-hmm. she will now give herself to him, this simulated, not suicide, assassination
yeah, right.
is going to be done for Mario's life, that's why then he will have what he wants. And so in the process of thinking that, she goes, okay, fine. Then what I'll do after we've agreed to this and I've agreed to sleep with Scarpia, I want a passage of safe conduct. Mm. I want you to write a letter then for me that will allow us to get out of town. If I'm mm-hmm. going to give this to you, then if you're going to assimilate or simulate mm-hmm. this assassination, give me a rite of passage. And so the whole entire time, she's so trusting, to go along with what you mm-hmm. just said, that she thinks that she can control the situation mm-hmm. with this bad man.
Mm-hmm. And so then... Mario Cavaradossi, you've been in jail, you've been tortured, and so then by the time you get to Ilucevan, where are you in all this? Because you do and don't know what's going on.
Well, at this point, I know I'm going to be shot. I'm waiting for the firing squad. Mm. He knows in the morning that he's done, and to set up this aria, there's the jailer there, and he's offered me a priest, and I say no thanks to that. But as a final favor, he has nothing left. The only riches he has left is a ring, which he offers to the jailer, so that he can write a final note to Tosca. And the jailer agrees, takes the ring, and gives him paper so he can write this note. And as he starts writing this note, he then starts to think about their love and the time that they'd spent together. And this is exactly where this aria comes out of.
Well, let's then send you to the other room for
Yay.
A Lucia Van Estella, yes. The aria, the oh-so-famous aria from Tosca, to be sung by Roger Honeywell and again with Celeste Johnson at the piano. And I guess let's just go right to the studio and hear that. Studio, Lucia Van Estella from Tosca, Roger Honeywell in the role as of Mario Cavaradossi, and again our thanks to Celeste Johnson, the pianist, for the rehearsals for this opera production and who came to help us make this thing happen on the air. And once again, 7:30 on Friday night and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Montehiedo College's Schuller Auditorium. Just a few quick notes on the way out. Jill, you were saying you have a special and interesting relationship with it out of all your Tosca performances with this one.
Yes. In the course of us talking about the story today, it's always a pleasure when I get to sing with my husband, who is bass baritone Jake Gardner. But this will be our fifth production of Tosca together, and it's always delicious because Jake gets to play the wonderful bad boy Baron Scarpia, and I get to fall in love with the fantastic tenor Mario Cavaradossi, Roger Honeywell, and get to kill my husband in the second act. So as we love to say all the time, we work a lot of stuff out in that rehearsal period. But it does create what's great about it, Vernon, what we were talking about, is that in this very volatile relationship between Scarpia and Tosca, it does create, because it's Jake, we really do get to explore just how far we can go with that volatility and that, you know, hatred aspect of the relationship, because by being married we have such a trust built between the two of us that as the act two goes along, and he puts his force over on me ultimately in a very horrible physical kind of way, because it's Jake, I feel very trusting in that, and we can really explore a lot of territory that with other people might be more difficult in a way. So it's cool. It's very cool.
Well, clearly, if I can kind of wrap this up by saying, not just another pretty voice, meaning that out of this whole Tosca production, it's going to have all of the elements that we want musically, but certainly the real emotional depth and the truth that only opera can bring.
I think that's a great way production. To put that, Vern.
And so that's, again, Friday night and Sunday afternoon in Coeur d'Alene. And tomorrow we'll be spending a little bit of time with the conductor and the stage director. So we'll get their take on it, too. So thank you very much, Jill Gardner.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Roger Honeywell.
My pleasure. Thanks.